The Portrait of Mr. W. H. by Oscar Wilde. Chapter 1. I had been dining with Erskine in his pretty little house in Birdcage Walk, and we were sitting in the library over our coffee and cigarettes when the question of literary forgeries happened to turn up in conversation. I cannot at present remember how it was that we struck upon this somewhat curious topic, as it was at that time. But I know that we had a long discussion about Macpherson, Ireland, and Chatterton, and that, with regard to the last, I insisted that his so-called forgeries were merely the result of an artistic desire for perfect representation, that we had no right to quarrel with an artist for the conditions under which he chooses to present his work, and that all art being to a certain degree a mode of acting, an attempt to realize one's own personality on some imaginative plane out of reach of the trammeling accidents and limitations of real life, to censure an artist for a forgery was to confuse an ethical with an aesthetical problem. Erskine, who was a good deal older than I was, and had been listening to me with the amused deference of a man of 40, suddenly put his hand upon my shoulder and said to me, "What would you say about a young man who had a strange theory about a certain work of art, believed in his theory, and committed a forgery in order to prove it?" "Ah, that is quite a different matter," I answered. Erskine remained silent for a few moments, looking at the thin gray threads of smoke that were rising from his cigarette. "Yes," he said after a pause, "quite different." There was something in the tone of his voice, a slight touch of bitterness, perhaps, that excited my curiosity. "Did you ever know anybody who did that?" I cried. "Yes," he answered, throwing his cigarette into the fire. "A great friend of mine, Cyril Graham. He was very fascinating and very foolish and very heartless. However, he left me the only legacy I ever received in my life." "What was that?" I exclaimed. Erskine rose from his seat, and going over to a tall inlaid cabinet that stood between the two windows, unlocked it and came back to where I was sitting, holding in his hand a small panel picture set in an old and somewhat tarnished Elizabethan frame. It was a full-length portrait of a young man in late 16th century costume, standing by a table with his right hand resting on an open book. He seemed about 17 years of age and was of quite extraordinary personal beauty, though evidently somewhat effeminate. Indeed, had it not been for the dress and the closely cropped hair, one would have said that the face, with its dreamy, wistful eyes and its delicate scarlet lips, was the face of a girl. In manner, and especially in the treatment of the hands, the picture reminded one of François Clouet's later work. The black velvet doublet with its fantastically gilded points, and the peacock blue background against which it showed up so pleasantly, and from which it gained such luminous value of color, were quite in Clouet's style. And the two masks of tragedy and comedy that hung somewhat formally from the marble pedestal, had that hard severity of touch, so different from the facile grace of the Italians, which even at the court of France the great Flemish master never completely lost, and which in itself has always been a characteristic of the northern temper. "It is a charming thing," I cried, "but who is this wonderful young man whose beauty art has so happily preserved for us?" "This is the portrait of Mr. W. H.," said Erskine, with a sad smile. It might have been a chance effect of light, but it seemed to me that his eyes were quite bright with tears. "Mr. W. H.," I exclaimed. "Who was Mr. W. H.?" "Don't you remember?" he answered. "Look at the book on which his hand is resting." "I see there is some writing there, but I cannot make it out," I replied. "Take this magnifying glass and try," said Erskine, with the same sad smile still playing about his mouth. I took the glass, and moving the lamp a little nearer, I began to spell out the crabbed 16th century handwriting. "To the only begetter of these ensuing sonnets." "Good heavens," I cried. "Is this Shakespeare's, Mr. W. H.?"
"Cyril Graham used to say so," muttered Erskine.
"But it is not a bit like Lord Pembroke," I answered.